is a mystery as to why everyone is sitting on the left-hand side. Now, would this be imbalanced preaching? It's going to take a while to get used to saying that, and I haven't been to work in about 18 days, and every night I have to conclude my job with some paperwork and sign it and date it. So right in 2010, it's going to take a while to get used to it. 2010. I've always made a habit that my first sermon of the year, of the new year, is to have some things to encourage us, to kind of remind us of things pertaining to the upcoming year. You know, this is a time that we've never lived before. 2010. If we live to see, there's a lot of days ahead of us, and we've never been a part of those days. Some people is excited about the new year, excited about being a part of a new year and happy about it, wanting to forget about all the things of last year and things that weren't so good. And some people are a little bit edgy, a little bit worried about this new year, about being a part of this new year. And some people are carrying those same old worries from last year into this year, filling their lives up with worries about what's going to happen, or what problems and struggles they may be having. A good philosophy is to, maybe just try your very best to forget the things in the past. Forget the things of last year that you had no control over. Forget the things and the things that didn't go right last year. Don't bring them into this year. Forget them and let's look forward positive towards having a good year in 2010. But you know, with this new year coming, a new year is already here, this new year which we are a part of, but there are some old ideals, some old practices that we all should continue to do in this new year. That's the lesson going to be about this evening. It's nothing new. Some old things, some old reminders. The lesson simply going to be entitled Basics for the Year. These are things that you read about, things that many of us learn as Christians. Things you've heard over and over through the pulpit, things you read over and over in your Bible, but some things that maybe you, and even as I look over the list of things myself, I see that some things that maybe I'd gotten a little slack in last year. Now this year, 2010 is here, some things that we can work on and do our very best to excel and be faithful to God. Because isn't it our goal? To present ourselves faithful before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 58. Being stable, unmovable before God. As we think about some things, rather basic things for this year. How about thanks? T-H-A-N-K-S, thanks. Gratitude, being grateful. I believe, or rather I'm convinced, that we live in a country where many people have made a day-to-day thing walking around the world being unthankful for the things that they have and greedy and want more and more and more. You and I, in this year, 2010, maybe we should make it our goal to be more thankful. Later on, we'll talk about some things that we can be thankful for. But let's go to the scripture and look what the scripture has to say about being thankful, giving thanks unto God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the verse will be verse number 18. The apostle Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Paul encouraged those in Thessalonica to be very thankful. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, Paul said the basic same thing to the church at Philippi in encouraging, teaching them to be thankful, thanksgiving. In Psalms chapter 92, verse 1, the psalmist would say, "For it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." For it is a good thing to give thanks unto God. For let this be the year that we work at this very basic principle of being thankful, giving gratitude unto God for all the things that God has blessed us with. You know, I can make a list here. On this side over here is the material things. There's food. There's clothing. And there's shelter. As I look over the audience this evening, I'm quite sure that every person in here probably had a choice of food to eat this morning and throughout the day. Quite sure that each person here probably had a choice of clothing to wear, either the black pants or the white pants, red dress or the blue dress, whatever case it may be. Look over the audience. Just don't see anyone that's homeless. Most of us have jobs. For all these blessings that God had displayed upon us, maybe in the midst of our praying unto God, whether it's here in the auditorium or whether it's in our private lives, maybe we should stop and take a little more time this year and give God thanks for all the things that He has blessed us with. The things that we sometimes take for granted. Then on a spiritual point, we as Christians should be very thankful for the church, for the kingdom, for the Lord's church. We ought to be very thankful for the scriptures, that we have the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We have the Holy Scriptures to study, to read, to learn from. If you remember a few weeks ago when I talked from Psalms chapter 18, It spoke of the laws of God as being sure, as being right, as being just, as being pure. We've been blessed to have this. God's law, that which we can rely upon. We ought to be thankful for it. How often do we in our prayer say unto God, "I thank you for your most holy scriptures you've given us." Maybe also from a spiritual point this year, we'd stop and be more thankful for salvation that we have. Someone took the time to sit down with you and teach you the gospel. If you continue to follow that gospel, that way leads to heaven. Thankful for one another. The little time that we spent together here Thursday night, it was good. I was amongst brethren, amongst people that I know very well and people that would have good, wholesome conversations. That's good. I'm happy to be amongst the brethren. We ought to be more thankful for one another. Basics for the year. Maybe this can be one that we all can work on. That in our prayers, that we'd be more thankful. And Psalms 106. At verse number one, praise the Lord. We'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I love the reading of the Psalms, and you see the attitude that the psalmist has and his thankfulness unto God. He says that God's mercy endures forever, that God is good, therefore he's thankful. He seems to be one who constantly had an attitude of thanks, an attitude of gratitude. Maybe you and I, for this year, we can go through this year, 2010, being more thankful and maybe complaining less. I'm going to work at that, because sometimes I find myself complaining about things. I'm going to work at being more thankful. I'm going to work at, in my prayers, thanking God for all that I have. Not for what I don't have, not being upset because I don't have this, but being thankful for the things that he has blessed me with. Now, secondly, when we look at some of the basics for the year, this one is closely related to the first one. There's prayer. Prayer, praying. We as Christians have the privilege and the blessing of being able to go to the Father in prayer. Have you ever thought about that? The privilege and the blessing to be able to go to the Father through Jesus Christ in prayer. And we can talk to the maker of this world, the creator of you and I. That being the case, maybe we should spend more time in prayer. I'm willing to say that most of us in here probably could say that I need to pray a little bit more. We all could spend a little more time praying unto the Father. In Colossians chapter 4, as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he encouraged them. He said in verse number 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. He encouraged them to pray earnestly. Then down verse number 3. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul goes on and looks towards the church at Colossae to pray for him and those who are with him, that God would give him an opportunity to be able to speak the things they ought to speak to those who need the gospel. Maybe we should spend some time in prayer, praying that very prayer. Praying unto God that he would open up some doors for us that we can share the gospel. Or maybe pray, God, that I will use the opportunities that I have to share the gospel with someone. Or maybe pray unto God that he help us to have more courage, speak up when we have these opportunities in sharing the word of God. See, these are basics for the year. Praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul taught the church there, pray without ceasing. Continue to pray. In Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse number 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Paul seemed to have had a close relationship with those at Philippi. He says he thanked God from every remembrance of them. And then he goes on and says that he make mention and request for them in his prayers. For see, you can and I can pray for you this year. You can go on, make requests for me. You can pray for me and I'll pray for you. Wouldn't it be great that each and every one of us was praying for each and every one of us, praying for one another? Basics for the year. Maybe this is going to be a year where we're going to spend time talking about each other in prayer. You want to talk about me? I don't care. But talk about me in prayer to the Father. First Timothy, chapter 2. Starting at verse number 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Paul tells Timothy to pray for all men. Then there in verse number 2, become more specific, for kings and those of authorities. You know, I guess all of us could probably sit down and count the many times we have criticized and talked about, some of times rightfully, about our leaders of this country. I know I can make a list of all the things I think the leader of this country is doing wrong. You probably can too. I can make a list of all the things I think they need to reverse and turn around in order to get this country right. I probably can start with the mayor and work my way on up and talk about all the things they need to do in order for things to be right. But you know what? Scriptures teach us here that we too should still spend time praying for the kings, for those of authority. I don't agree with everything our president is doing. But you know what? I need to talk to God about it. Spend some time praying about it. Praying that maybe he'll make some right decision that's going to benefit everybody. Decision that falls within the scriptures. I don't agree on everything that's going on in Congress. But maybe we this year can spend some time praying. Maybe some of those guys up there will wake up and try to make some good decisions. And even on the local government, the mayors and the governors, our representatives, spend some time praying for them that they'll make good decisions. If I remember right, it's Brother Steve, usually when he pray, always pray for the government, that the government will make good decisions. They need our prayer because most of the decisions they're making are far off. Let us continue. Spend this year praying for one another, praying for all men, praying for our government. Praying for our leaders. For as I said in the beginning, some basic things for the year that we can continue in. Maybe we've gotten a little slack on. Maybe tonight or whenever you take time to pray, maybe you'll stop and think about some of these things and spend some time talking to God about all leaders in the country. Not only in this country, but leaders all over the world. This year, I'm going to say, you probably going to spend hours upon hours reading. Some of you are going to get some of your books you enjoy, some of your favorite books, and you're going to read them. A lot of people like to read the book, then go and see the movie. Why, I don't know, but people like doing it. Read the book, why go see the movie? Going to spend a lot of time reading the newspaper. Some of us going to spend time reading our favorite magazine. Now, all those things are good, and they're great, but let us go through this year spending some time to a very basic, simple thing, reading the scriptures. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, starting at the bottom, he tells Timothy to give his attention to doctrine. Tells Timothy to give his attention to exhortation, to building up, encouraging. Then he goes on and says at the beginning of the scripture, to give your attention to reading. May we give our attention this year to the reading of the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and 1 Peter chapter 2, start at verse number 1. Therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. He starts off here telling them of things to lay aside, or rather things to get rid of. He says get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Don't need those. As a Christian, you don't need those things in your life. Then he goes on and says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Encouraging them and teaching them to have a desire for the word of God that they what? That they may grow thereby. How do we grow spiritually? One of the ways is by the word of God. By digging, reading, studying the word of God. And that's nothing new. But see, in 2010, each of us, hopefully we'll make an effort to spend time in God's word. It's very important because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, when talking to Satan, asking Satan, said Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth, or rather every word that come out of the mouth of God. Jesus showed that man has to have the word of God. Therefore, as you live in this new year, it's only 3 days into it, may we spend time each day reading God's word, that our faith may increase. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're going to grow in our faith and be strong spiritually. This is a year that we're going to decide to put time and effort into the reading of God's word. Now, by now, most people hear Paul saying, oh, he only has 3 points. He's getting ready to shut down. No, I'm not. I've got about 8 more points to go, so untie your tie, loosen your shoes. No, I've got one more thing I want to say, and I'll be through. As you think about basics for the year, fourthly and last, let us be concerned for lost souls. Let this be the year in which we display our concern for the souls of those who are lost. I'm quite sure each and every one of us, we all know all the verses. We understand very well what the Bible teaches about Great Commission, what the Bible teaches about going out, teaching, and making disciples. We understand that very well. We understand Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We understand that. We know what it teaches. Let this be the year that we put forth some effort and concern for the lost. 2010, we are going to be concerned about those who are lost. We're going to try to teach them. Try to get a track in the hand. We're going to try to invite them to come to worship service and hear the truth. We're going to sit down and try to have a study with them. See, it's not our job to force and make people obey the gospel. But we are responsible for trying to share the word with them, and they will respond however. Either they will obey it or they will reject it. But let this be the year where we're going to be concerned about the souls of those who are lost. In Acts chapter 4, the religious leaders have gotten all worked up with Peter and Paul, and they've gotten together in Acts chapter 4, and around about verse number 13, religious leaders began to say that these men are uneducated and untrained. Evidently, they must have been with Jesus. And that was the case. These men, they had spent time with Jesus. They had heard the thing that Jesus taught pertaining to the gospel. They had saw Jesus' compassion for the lost souls. These men left going into the world after the day of Pentecost, going into the world with that compassion to teach lost souls, to share the gospel with those who did not know. They were so convinced, it says then in Acts chapter 4, start verse number 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. These men, first of all, they were determined they was going to be obedient to God. And secondly, I'm convinced that these men were concerned about sharing the gospel with those who were lost. If not, why, as you read through the book of Acts, why would these men and other men go through so much beatings, go through the troubles they went through? They was concerned about sharing the word of God with the lost. Flip over to Acts chapter 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. After being brought before the council, Peter and the other apostles said, look here. We're going to obey God rather than men. They were determined they were going to be obedient to God. And I'm convinced too that they were also concerned about the lost souls. But those who need to hear the gospel. Acts chapter 7, verse number 14 says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. How did this come about? This came about by people being concerned, going out teaching and sharing the word of God. This can be the year for you and I to hold on to that basic principle of being concerned about those who are lost and sharing the gospel with them. In Acts chapter 8, all the troubles came down upon the Christians. You find there in verse number 4, it says, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Even after persecution, the troubles, and the hard times that came upon them, they were still concerned about being obedient to God and concerned about those who souls were lost, that they could hear the gospel. Basics for the year. Same things we've heard before. Same gospel. May we always teach and believe the same gospel. Because it's a new year doesn't mean that we need some new gospel. Same book for a new year. May we go into this year being thankful and all that we have and giving thanks unto God. May we go into this year spending time praying unto the Father, praying for each other, praying for the lost, praying for opportunities to come that we can share the gospel. May we go into this year simply based on spending time reading God's word. And last of all, may we go into this year having some concern about those who are lost and put forth the effort to help in sharing God's word. I would probably say the goal for each and every one of us overall, when you put this together, a lot of other things that the Bible teach, is that we want to be faithful this year. We want to be just like Revelation 2:10. We want to be faithful unto death. We want to live faithful so that when Jesus comes, we too can go and be with the Father in heaven. This evening, as you're going to a brand new year this evening as a Christian, you may want to change some things. You may say to yourself, the last year, I've done a lot of things that's wrong, that's sin in my life. I need to get rid of it. Do it this evening. By way of repenting, turn away from that sin as a Christian. And moving forward in this year, not only this year, but each and every year that you have, striving to live faithful according to Scripture, serving God. You may be here this afternoon and not a Christian. The Bible says, and it teaches very clearly, that you can become a Christian by obeying the gospel, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, having your sins washed away, rising up out of the water, brand new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Brand new creature in a brand new year, living by a brand new rule. God's way. You can do it. Advice is, don't put it off. Make the right decision. January 3rd, 2010.